You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
It is 4 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. The John Carlson Show coming to you. Firing on all cylinders. Thanks very much for letting me be part of your listening day. Well, a new development in one of the most maddening, bizarre, bewildering stories that I've ever come across in 25 years of work in the news media, and that is the vanishing of Malaysian Air Flight 370. A new report says the Boeing 777's engines continued to operate for 4 hours after the last contact with air traffic controllers. According to the Wall Street Journal and other news media sources, Flight 370 stayed in the air for about 4 hours past the time it reached its last confirmed location. That's when they signed off, said good night, all is well. They were 35,000 feet, good weather, middle of the night, and then nothing. The journal cites two people familiar with the details, raising the possibility that the plane could have flown on for hundreds of additional miles, thousands actually, under conditions that remain murkier by the day. Aviation investigators, national security officials believe the plane flew for a total of 5 hours based on data that is automatically downloaded and sent to the ground from the Boeing's 777's engines. That's part of their regular maintenance and monitoring program. All this raises a host of new questions and possibilities about why they have not been able to find any debris or any wreckage of Flight 370. 370, of course, carrying 239 people, vanished from civilian air traffic control radar last Friday. They've had no sign of a crash, no sign of a landing, no sight of anything. Here's more from ABC News just this morning, including one reporter who flew on a search mission with Malaysian military.
This morning, Malaysian officials knocked down reports that Malaysia Air Flight 370 could have flown for more than 4 hours after it vanished from the radar, insisting that the last they heard from the plane was a transmission at 1:07 that morning, just before it disappeared.
Those reports are inaccurate.
Not only that, but the one seeming glimmer of hope dashed overnight. Three Chinese satellite images, which appeared to show large pieces of floating debris just 140 miles east from where the plane disappeared, and about 240 miles from where an oil rig worker said he saw a plane on fire in the sky, no debris was found in either place.
We deployed our assets, but found nothing. We have contacted the Chinese embassy, who notified us this afternoon that the images were released by mistake and did not show any debris from MH370.
Officials say their focus remains the South China Sea. No word yet if they plan to expand the search zone, which already covers an area of 27,000 nautical square miles, about the size of Indiana, and spanning a distance greater than Chicago to Atlanta. All of this highlighting how difficult this search is, where ABC News' Gloria Riviera this morning joined a search party desperate for any clue.
We just banked hard right. I thought the wing was going to touch the ocean surface because the captain wanted to check out something they saw. It turned out to be a fisherman's box.
Now, some of those search and rescue teams also told us that they're not just looking for the debris in the water. They also have this great hope that eventually, someday, they will find some of those that are still alive. Bob Woodruff, ABC News, Kuala Lumpur.
All right. The more that we find, the more we will get to you.
There's something kind of unusual about the tail end of that report. And this goes back to, I guess, maybe the day or two previous when there was some discussion that this plane had done a 180 instead of flying north and east, started flying south and west, maybe heading out towards the Indian Ocean. And that in that ABC report you just played, they said the focus is back to the South China Sea, which is a lot closer to the spot where it was last heard from. And to reconcile that with the report from the Wall Street Journal about the plane engines operating for 4 hours, according to data that came in.
Well, and then you have a defense, acting defense secretary with the Malaysian military saying, no, that's not true.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
really? How do you know?
Almost immediate dismissal. That was very puzzling as well. But that idea that they're going to keep focusing on the South China Sea rather than to the west of Malaysia and maybe out towards the Indian Ocean, you know, even if that report about the engines kept running or kept sending back signals for their operation for this monitoring program, I mean, is this going to, are we going to find out that this is going to end up being like the cell phones of victims or people that were on the plane, passengers on the plane that were called and they rang and rang and rang?
Mm-hmm.
Because every once in a while you'll call somebody if they're off camping or something like that, or you find out they're out of a cell service area and you get that message. The phone that you have called is not in a coverage area. Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the outside,
whatever the outgoing,
the
yeah, he's outside
area.
The coverage area. There you go. Out, you know, whatever that outgoing voice message is, and that didn't come up. So maybe there is something to this idea that the engines could have kept running for several hours, and they just got farther away, and the plane ditched or crashed.
One aviation analyst who's been spending a lot of time doing national media is Scott Hamilton. He also spoke with us each of the last couple of days and yesterday afternoon to Como News Radio.
It's still, I think, odd that as this whole incident unfolded, you didn't have any sign of debris at the last known position or in the vicinity of the last known position.
So even if you just take all that off the table, you would think that somewhere after six full days that somebody would have seen something. I mean, that's the part that I can't quite wrap my mind
just
around.
It defies logic.
I mean, I realize this is a very big country we live in. And I realize that planes go missing in remote, desolate areas from time to time. Yeah. But this is a 777 wide-body jet. It was carrying 239 people. And if it breaks apart or crashes, it's going to make a mess. It's gonna get noticed. It's not like, you know, something that just falls between two massive, you know, crevassed boulders and disappears like a lot of, you know, single engine planes have been known to do in remote areas of Alaska and the like. So I never dreamed that when we started talking about this on Monday, that it would be Thursday and we still would have had no sign of anything. And increased, you know, bungling and turf wars and all sorts of other problems that have resulted, you know, from the frustration over getting any information about any relevant, credible information. To the phones we go from the town of Graham there in Pierce County. We've got Jim calling, former Air Force pilot. Jim, thanks for making the time. Good to have you here on KVI this morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning, John and Phil. You know, the data downloading is common and is what Boeing does for, again, for maintenance updates and to keep what's going on the airplanes. It's common for what the airlines do. For instance, like they run out of food, what the food they've served. So when they land, go to their next destination, their food's already ready to be loaded up on the airplane. So they know what you have to replace. I'm just aghast that this point that Boeing or the Malaysian Airlines has not released that information until just now about the engines. They knew this days ago.
In other words, they would have known over the weekend when the engines stopped reporting the data.
Yes.
Because this was just automatic. Yeah, I don't know why we're learning this today either.
Scott, all your aviation, they know this. You know, and they've not said, no one said anything about it. But anyway, I just want to make that comment. I called Phil a couple of days ago about that and was hoping that some information that would be released eventually. So now they're starting to get into the nitty-gritty of that. Now it's getting really serious. So I just wanted to share that with you and more coming.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you. And they could have gone 1,600 miles. At least.
Was the ABC report something about the radius between Chicago and Atlanta?
Yeah, they could have reached North Africa.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the direction. That's the other thing. Apparently now, they do believe the plane started to turn around.
Somewhere.
But they don't know whether it was an immediate turnaround or whether it was kind of like an arc.
Yeah.
So who... Who knows? All we know is this. We know that it did not continue on the flight path.
Sure, it didn't go north.
That's the one place we know it didn't go is where it was supposed to go.
And it probably didn't go over land. It has to be, you know, its flight path was over water somewhere because radar would have picked it up once it got close to a coastline.
So here we are. It is 5:45. Again, this is one of the strangest. Definitely it's the strangest story of the jet age. But it is simply one of the strangest stories, period. A flight disappears, completely disappears, and all the people on it, and no one has any idea of where the plane or the people are 6 days later. It's The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. I had mentioned that one of the most respected investigative reporters in television journalism, Cheryl Atkinson, has stepped down from CBS. Well, now we're learning that she first tried to quit the network a year ago. We'll tell you why she did and why she chose to stay and then why she finally decided enough's enough. Coming right up here, The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.